3 HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Brett Bryan, the grand poobah of Titans Radio, joins us now. Are you the executive director? Are you what is your correct title with Titans Radio?
Executive producer and one of the game day hosts.
All of those things.
Yeah, he is a man that wears a lot of hats.
Literally wearing a hat now. In front of the great 9-27 forever flag, which I love seeing behind you, Steve McNair and Eddie George.
And the Grantland Rice Bowl pennant that my parents gave me for Christmas. It's vintage from the early 60s when they used to have that bowl game in Murfreesboro. And of course, Grantland Rice is one of the most famous sports writers in the history of mankind and lived in Murfreesboro. So it's a tip of the cap to him, too.
Now, Brent, we're on Skype here. You can't see this, but we can't. Brent has the same poster in his room. He has gotten his out, but he has covered himself with it. Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley is officially a Tennessee Titans per the Titans. If someone asks, per who? Literally us, the Titans, is what they might say. So you and Coach Mack are vetting players. We ask him, when he vetted Vic Beasley, what did he see? And this is what Coach Mack said about Vic Beasley.
I remember very well vetting him because I've, you know, done it for all these 30-plus drafts. I mean, speed guy, edge guy, tremendous physical skills, you know, at the combine. You know, you talk about all the explosion numbers. They're all there. He's got the motorcycle lean that I like to talk about that I didn't invent but that I thought was a very good descriptive term that I think everybody has latched on to pretty well and can see. So, you know, he had all the traits coming out that you look at that you would say, this guy, you know, is going to have a chance to get to the quarterback at some level in the National Football League. I remember vetting him very well.
So Coach Mack vetted him. Vic Beasley, Rhett, he is definitely a piece on this defense. How much can he help Harold Landry having those guys opposite each other on the field at the same time, do you think?
I think he can help tremendously because, and this is no slight towards a Cam Wake who's 37 years old. That experiment apparently didn't work. It was on, you know, a lot of third down packages last year. I like the fact that he's young. He's got gas in the tank. What you're trying to tap into is that career year a few years back of 15 and a half quarterback sacks. But the fact that he can create disruption and being a force could help Harold Landry. I think we know what Harold Landry is at this point. And 9.5, 10 sacks, great. But you pair another guy off of the other side to him that can take on some double teams and the like, I would think that maybe Harold Landry's goes up, numbers go up a little bit.
What's the concern level, though, on Vic Beasley? Because he had the huge year, right? The 15 and a half in year two, and then it was 5 and 5 and 8. So is it just from a scheme, like get him in the right scheme again? And these guys are confident in the way that they'll be able to use him. Is it that simple?
I would hope that would be the case, Brent, because when you talk about Mike Vrabel and what a teacher and a coach he is, can't wait to get his hands on this guy working that umpire's vest out there and kind of getting him one-on-one and getting some reps with him on the practice field, whenever that is. And I think there's some stuff that maybe, you know, the Falcons didn't tap into for whatever reason. Maybe there's something with him personally that, you know, we don't know what all those stories are behind closed doors at the facility for the Falcons, but I would think that there's some stuff there. And again, you got a guy in a second contract or a one, you know, get it done deal, prove it deal, who has a lot to prove.
You talk about a 1 year, 2 year deal. Information on Jadeveon Clowney out there from Jeremy Fowler at ESPN, who basically said today that, first of all, Seattle reportedly offering him around $18.5 million a year in a deal, but also that it could, he's now open, he could be open to maybe a 1 or a 2 year deal to try and go out, play, just like you talked about, knock it out of the park, and then get a nice payday. What's your thoughts on, I know we're going to hop into draft and new guys, but with Clowney, what are your thoughts on that guy on a 1 year, 2 year deal?
Depends on what the money is, Dawn, but I wouldn't hate it. I'll put it to you that way. Yeah. And it's just because, you know, people look at the numbers, people look at the injury history, And, of course, the quarterback sack is what everybody hangs their hat on. But the disruption, that's what you're looking for out of him. And the fact that opposing offenses would have to account for his whereabouts on every single play that he's out there, that's something the Titans defense hasn't had in a big presence player in quite some time.
I would say Jarrell for a number of years, Rev, was maybe that one guy that you really had to think, okay, let's make sure two people hit 99 on every play, because he was just one of those find-a-way guys. But he's an interior defensive lineman, you know, or he's a 3-4 defensive lineman being lined up in different places. Having a guy like Clowney, to me, takes this defense to a different level. And you mentioned this. You look at the stats, and your eyes don't necessarily pop out. His best statistical year, Mike Vrabel was his coach in Houston and was able to get a lot out of him.
Yeah, which goes back to our conversation about Vic Beasley. I can't help but think he will want to draw the best out of these guys. And he knows he can do it with Jadeveon Clowney. And the thought is, I'm sure that he can do it with a Vic Beasley. You know, he says, I don't know how many times that Coach Vrabel has said this in his tenure here, but he said, I'm just a dude until they walk in the door. And then that's when I'm a coach, because then that's when I can evaluate film with them and work with them one-on-one on the practice field and get my point across with technique or whatever it is I'm trying to accomplish. So the hands-on approach for him, it could be huge in any case. And we know we have Vic Beasley for the Titans for a year. And if you were to get a Jadeveon Clowney, I feel like there would be some good things in store for this Titans defense if that were to take place.
I'm anxious. Like, on defense, I'm most anxious to see what Jeffrey Simmons is, 100% operational, I would say with an offseason, but that's kind of been weird, obviously. But I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, because you know, with the timeline from the pre-draft injury to when he showed up in the regular season, which was earlier than a lot of us thought, you knew he wasn't 100%, but what you saw was impressive. 100% of him now healthy, that's the kind of stuff, if I'm an opposing offense, keeps me awake at night. Because let me tell you something, in looking at all these guys, and Coach Mack and I have now looked at all 337 participants of the combine, Jeffrey Simmons would be the leader in the clubhouse in an interior defensive line position in this draft. It's going to be Derek Brown out of Auburn. He will be the pick of the litter in this. He would be picked before Derek Brown easily, and then the rest that are in this draft for sure.
Wow.
337 guys you guys have gone through, huh?
Yeah.
So every single one of them evaluated, watched tape. What is that? I mean, explain to people what you and Coach Mack do as you prepare for this draft.
So recently, like everyone working from home and adjusting to the new normal, we will have a conference call 3 to 4 hours a day, and we will go through descriptions, thumbnails, and those type of descriptions and, you know, things, whether it's a red flag doing it an injury or a personal situation, hopefully not a police blotter situation, but sometimes those pop up. And then he is the guy that will look at a lot of the tape. I'll go and look at what I can get my hands on in terms of highlights or what I can see. But it's really a lot of conferencing back and forth. And he's trained me enough to look at guys' descriptions and kind of get keywords and phrases there. So I know whether this guy has short area quickness, but no long burst of speed, or he has that motorcycle lean, or he doesn't. Whatever his skill set is. And you can read by looking at other guys' evaluations. You can tell whether a guy's going to be a slot corner, or whether he's going to be a nickel, or whether he's going to be a 4-3 D end or a 3-4 outside linebacker. I'm getting a valuable education with Coach Matt.
Is Chase Young the alpha dog of this group?
I would think so. When you're talking about pass rushers in this, and he even has some things, obviously, that he's got to work on because he's going to be a rook in this league. But yes, he will be top 3 selection, top 5 at the very latest. You hear, you know, whispers from Armando Salguero today about the Dolphins may be trading up to the number 1 spot because they have 14 draft picks. I heard you guys talking about it earlier with how many picks they have in this year's draft. Don't forget they have another extra 1 and 2 in next year's draft from the Laramie Tunsil trade. The great job that Bill O'Brien keeps doing as general manager of the Texans. But Chase Young would certainly be the first guy taken. And in terms of the other pass rushers, Calavon Chaisson from LSU, is a top 10 pick, and he'll be the second guy off the board.
Through HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Man, you heard the sounds of Titans Radio. And for Titans Radio fans, as Rhett Bryan jumps on with us for another segment, executive producer of Titans Radio, you got a little something up your sleeve that's going to make a lot of people happy, right?
Well, that's another thing I've been working on by working from home, is kind of using best of condensed versions of Titans games of the past. And we start this weekend with the season opener in Cleveland, when they thought they'd won the world championship before they all walked out there. And that ended up being a great day. I had old elderly ladies in the streets of Cleveland cursing us and calling us everything but a cedar bush. And then week four in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that was a good one. So, yeah, we're condensing these down, and the Titans financial partner, Pinnacle Financial Partners, Pinnacle Bank, has sponsored this, and should be some really cool stuff. We got to have something normal. We don't have any sports, and, you know, we're just kind of dialing back some of these Titans throwbacks, as we're calling them, and providing them so people can hear them on Sundays like they would in the fall.
Yeah, so that starts this Sunday from noon to 2, Titans at Cleveland from last season, then 2 to 4, Titans at Atlanta from last season. Are we going to go way back past last season as well at some point?
Yeah, we'll have some other things we're working on. Absolutely. Okay.
Good. I'm looking forward to it, because I got to put another like 25 bags of mulch down in my yard. So I'll have the headphones in, listen to some throwback Titans games.
And that's the thing. I think the thing that people will enjoy is, you know, how much we all love to hear Coach Mack and the things that he comes up with just so quickly, and going back and forth with Mike Keith during broadcasts. And that's something that's just, as I was condensing these things, just laughing out loud. It's just some of the funny stuff.
That's an answer with a capital A.
That's it. Take some of that, as he says.
Rhett Bryan and Coach Mack have now vetted everyone who went to the combine. We're going to get into some of these guys. Are you outside of combine guys yet? Have you started on the next? Because we know that not everybody that goes to the combine gets drafted, and some of the people who don't do. Look at no further than Kevin Byard. But are you outside of the combine yet on some guys?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Yes, we will look at some guys as we hear them from, you know, small schools, or, you know, tales of, you know, finding diamonds in the rough or whatever. But you got to also think, too, even with the compensatory picks, it's just a little over 250 guys are going to get drafted. So essentially, we've gone 100 people deep into that. Wow. Because, you know, doing 337 guys. So there's a lot of these guys will be day three or undrafted rookie free agents, and guys that will be, invited to come to training camps or whatever, and try to latch onto a roster spot, whatever that looks like down the road. But yeah, we've looked at some small school guys, and, you know, there's some interesting names out there and interesting stories. You know, we've looked at your guy, Omar Bayless from Arkansas State, who is a really nice wide receiver who has this knack for one arm, one handed touchdown grabs. It's really incredible.
Well, you know, I taught him everything he knows. So I taught him nothing. He came after I was gone from there. But by all accounts, a fantastic young man, and I look forward to seeing wherever he gets a chance at the next level.
Dude, even if you would have been there, all you're showing him is where the University Center is. Let's go.
Well, I mean, yeah, I gave a fantastic tour. You have no idea, man. You have no idea how valuable I was to that program.
All right, Rhett, let's go. Sorry, Mickey, go ahead, man.
No, you got it. Roll.
Let's go big man. Josh Jones, Houston offensive tackle, and Austin Jackson, USC offensive tackle. Both around 6'6", 6'7", both at 310 pounds, both potential first-round draft picks. What do you think about those two guys, Rhett?
Well, Josh Jones, as you will see, a lot of pundits try to put him there at number 29 to the Titans from Houston. And that certainly could be the case. I think he and Ezra Cleveland from Boise State are names you're going to hear at the bottom of that first round. I think the Austin Jackson tackle from USC is probably the next tier guy. He is in day two, night two, in the second round of the draft in this thing, and could be there when they pick at 61 in round two. But Josh Jones is a nice prospect. He's got the size that you're looking for. I don't know that he is as fluid in the hips as you would like in a prospect. But again, you're not in that top tier with Tristan Wirfs and the kid from Alabama. There's a tier there of top guys that you'll see taken throughout about the middle of that first round. And these guys are in that next tier.
It's interesting because a lot of people want to put a first round offensive tackle to the Titans, as you said. I don't know that I see that, Rhett, though, with the contract they just gave Dennis Kelly. I think they may get one, but first round guy, I don't know.
And that's why I could see them doing maybe an Austin Jackson pick in round two.
Yeah.
The tackle from Southern Cal at pick 61 more than I could first round. I think first round. Something tells me he trades out of this because he doesn't have enough picks. First of all, I like a couple of things that he would do. He has 3 7th rounders now. I think he would take two of those 7th rounders, maybe keep the 237 that he got from Denver in the Jarrell Casey move, and take those other 2 7th rounders and package them up to go into round six. And I could see where he would want to maybe trade down from 29, because that's the sweet spot where guys in the top of the second round maybe have a corner they like or a tackle they like. And that's also where the pick of the litter running backs will start to come off the board shortly thereafter at 29. But I could see him taking a cornerback if he stays more than I could a tackle. Because if you don't have Logan Ryan coming back in this, and you already have lost a LaShawn Sims in the back of the roster to Cincinnati, you're going to need two corners in this draft. And that's probably the place where you would want to take one of them.
Are there some guys that you like as into the first round guys? Because if you look at these mock drafts, Rhett, it's kind of all over the place for who people think they might get. I think we all know this. Speed needs to be at a premium for this team in the defensive backfield.
Well, I'll say this. Right there at 29 should be a guy like a Jeff Gladney from TCU. He would be an option there. You would hope that maybe a Christian Fulton from LSU is sitting there at 29. But I'm going to tell you, this draft has got some good cornerbacks in it. And if I don't get something there that I like and you go a different direction, whether you trade out or you get a best player available at 29, there's a guy that would go in round, probably late round two, early round three, named Amik Robertson from Louisiana Tech. And this dude is a ball player. He's probably best suited as a nickel cornerback, but he has 14 career interceptions, 300 plus tackles in 3 years, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. Who does that sound like? It sounds like Kevin Byard's numbers at MTSU. And so he's doing big things in a small pond that could translate to some uptick in play and fast learning at the next level, which is, you know, a big jump from Louisiana Tech. But Amik Robertson is a name that you need to keep your eyes on.
Rhett, you mentioned the draft picks for the Titans. They've got the first pick, 29. Their second round pick is 61. They have a third round pick, then no fourth rounder. They have a fifth rounder, no sixth rounder, but 3 7th rounders. And I'm a lot like you. When I think of John Robinson and how he does business, those are probably not the specific numbers that he wants to see. And I just keep thinking, boy, if you're him, maybe you need the right, maybe one of the quarterbacks kind of falls back and he's still there and a quarterback needy team needs to make a jump, or maybe there's just somebody based on how things fall that pushes somebody right there in front of you that a team and, you know, in back somewhere says, I got to make this jump. Cause if you're John Robinson, then you get back some of that valuable draft capital.
Well, and if you're talking about the 29 pick in round one, they're going to be trying to get a tackle, or maybe there's an edge rusher that somebody likes, but more likely it's probably a cornerback. But I'm going to say this. Let's take it a step further. Let's say that whoever calls you and they want pick 29 and they're going to give you their two and a four or whatever that works out to be. Well, what if you're sitting at pick 93 and now you've got a couple of extra picks in this and Jake Fromm from Georgia is sitting there? I mean, there are all kinds of possibilities in this thing, and you just never know what John Robinson might do. And he might, that might be a guy that they groom as the backup in all of this. That's just too bad, too much to pass on if he's sitting there in round three. But if you got extra stuff, he values that draft capital. I just can't help but think that he trades down at 29. We'll see.
It will be real quick. It will be interesting to see what they do with regard to quarterback with that contract they just gave to Ryan Tannehill, right? Because it's a legit 3-year deal at the least for $91 million. So if you draft a guy now, you're going to eat up a lot of that rookie contract. Now, if you go mid-round guy and Fromm slips there, then you could double up contract-wise and still not spend a ton. And then maybe he is your guy moving forward after Tannehill is gone.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the other thing. They still have money right now. They could get a veteran backup if they wanted to. And there's a few names out there. I mean, there's a Blake Bortles sitting out there. There's a lot of guys.
That come on, Rhett.
Why didn't say Jameis Winston, Dawn? But, I mean, there's some options there. That's the thing in all of this. With everything going on in the world with this coronavirus, there is no telling what in the world's going to happen with the tier 2, 3, and 4 free agency and this draft. It's up in a little over 3 weeks.
Creation powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Rhett Bryan, executive producer for Titans Radio, hanging out with us for another segment here talking some NFL draft. We had a question on Twitter, Brent, from Titans 24/7, asking about a local guy.
Yeah, speaking of small schools, Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio, as you said, how about TSU's Chris Rowland, record-setting wide receiver from Nolensville?
Yeah, and he's somebody that Coach Mack and I haven't taken a full deep dive into yet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He is certainly somebody on the local radar for this because he and his brother Seth played at Ravenwood. They're Nolensville kids, live right down the road from me. Senior, 5'7", 185 pounds, a wide out. I think it was HBCU College Player of the Year. Set all kinds of – broke Walter Payton's record, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Jerry Rice, 104.
Yeah, Jerry Rice. Sorry,
104 receptions last year, 1,437 yards and 8 touchdowns. Jerry Rice held the record previously with 103 receptions. 5'8", 180. Really, really fast, and will be in somebody's camp.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the way the NFL is nowadays. And like we just did an official Titans podcast we recorded today with Amy Wells talking about the wide receiver position. And as long as 7-on-7 is still a thing in high schools and these camps and things, and as long as, you know, NFL teams are putting out 11 personnel with 3 wideouts,
yeah,
this guy's going to have a chance, especially if he has the one thing you can't coach, and that's speed, as you mentioned. I would have loved to have seen a pro day number from him to see what his 40 and his measurables from explosive short, you know, area quickness would be like in terms of a vertical leap or 3 cone drills or anything like that. I think that he's a guy that if the speed is there, even on an unofficial 40 time, somebody will be trying to give him a call.
What do you think about the idea that some have that the Titans may go or could go? I just like testing this theory with people and seeing where you come down on it, but you could go Jonathan Taylor at running back. And I know people would be surprised if they did that. But the reason being, Derrick Henry, obviously with the franchise tag, you could franchise tag him again. You could get the 4-year with the 5th-year option on a running back with Jonathan Taylor. And you could move on theoretically from Derrick Henry after that franchise tag, have Jonathan Taylor ready to go at running back and save a ton of money with that rookie deal.
Sure. And what you're talking about is the model that basically the Pittsburgh Steelers built in this window of CBA with what they did with Le'Veon Bell in terms of you get him in, as a especially if you take a first round running back, you have a fifth year option, then you could possibly tag him twice. And then by that point, might not be a whole lot of tread on the tires because Jonathan Taylor is a guy. And the only thing that concerns me is what tread is on the tires because he had 956 carries at Wisconsin. Of course, that's all they do. but he had a great combine, great measurables, and a size and strength and speed that you would like to see. I don't know if you'd want to take him at 29 right there. But I think he would be gone shortly thereafter if you didn't decide to do that. But he would be at that point probably the first back taken off the board right behind a DeAndre Swift of Georgia.
I just like exploring. Yeah, I don't think they'd take him. I just like exploring the thought of using up that rookie deal on a running back, and then once they become expensive, you do it again. And then you're interchanging that position, which a lot of general managers think is an interchangeable position.
Yeah, and again, that's the Le'Veon Bell model, because he could catch it out of the backfield, he could run, and he did so much for that Steelers offense. And then when it came to the point of paying him, they tried to tag him at $13.5 million 2 years ago. He decided not to do that. He's gone and gotten his money with the New York Jets, but has not had the production. So, yeah, that's something to consider in all of this, that you would have him on the cheap and have a fifth-year option of a little bit more money that's equal to a transition tag in terms of money, and then go from there and see what happens.
I had mentioned defensive tackles, Rhett. We got a couple minutes left before we got to go. Derrick Brown, obviously, like you said, is the consensus top hand at that position. I did see one mock that saw Ross Blacklock falling all the way to the Titans. I thought that was interesting. And you could get a guy like that at the end of the first round. That might be one of those things where it was tough to trade out if he was there.
Well, and in that group of guys, Derrick Brown would be followed by Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. He's probably the next guy in that deal. But, yeah, around where the Titans are picking, I would anticipate that Ross Blacklock would be there, that Neville Gallimore from Oklahoma might be there. And there's a guy in round two that I like that would be in the neighborhood of where they're picking at 61 in Texas A&M's Justin Matabuke, who is a good first explosive step and is a nice athlete that would help kind of plug in some things. I'm not saying he's a Jarrell Casey, but I'm saying there's some good mid-round depth in these defensive linemen. But after that first couple of guys, there is a group of dudes that would be there around 29.
Got about 30 seconds left. And Jimmy Morris, the guy who was the rookie, the baseball rookie, the oldest rookie, will join us next to start the 5 o'clock hour. But just wanted to ask you this. As you vetted all these guys, you're like me, you watch the combine. Is there anybody you feel differently now about than maybe you did when you watched them at the combine, now that you've done a deeper dive?
I don't know if there's anybody in particular, Mickey, but I'll say this, and this is a question I posed to Coach Mack the other day, is wonder how many guys going forward will do the exercises at the combine because they haven't had a pro day to prove anything because of all the things that have gone on. That's the question I want to see, because I'd have loved to have seen a Calavon Chase on from LSU or some of those guys like that perform at the combine.
Man. Yeah, well, and all you got now is your agent tweeting out, you know, videos of you running or jumping things. You know, that's your
program. He's jumping over some trash cans. He looks good.
Rhett, you look good on Skype, man. Thanks for the time, and great catching up with you. And let's hit this again. What do we got coming up Sunday? Titans Classic broadcast. Two games from this past year, correct?
Yep, Titans throwbacks, and that starts with the season opener 2019 at Cleveland. We know how that one ended, and we want to relive that. And then it's followed by week four in Atlanta against the Falcons. Titans throwbacks presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners with the Titans.
Noon to 2 and 2 to 4, man. That's going to be fun. So just keep your radio right here or your favorite Titans radio affiliate. Thank you, my brother. Thanks for the time.
All right, brother. See y'all later.
Yes, sir, Rip Brian. All right, when we come back, Jimmy Morris, if you've ever seen the movie The Rookie, this is the guy the movie was based on. An amazing story about a guy who got a second chance at Major League Baseball and made the most of it. We'll talk to Jimmy Morris when we return on 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery.